It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, we're going to talk about small town music festivals in Iowa. But first, every community in Iowa has historic structures. And as those structures age, choices have to be made. Do you preserve, adapt, or replace? This hour, we're going to talk about historic preservation. The third annual Preserve Iowa Summit starts a week from today in Winterset. And with me this hour, Paula Moore, architectural historian and certified local government coordinator at the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. Hello, Paula.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Brenda Hollingsworth is also here. She's part of the Madison County Historic Preservation Commission. Hello, Brenda.
Good morning, Charity.
Oh, thank you for being here. And Doug Jones, archaeologist for the State Historical Society, is also here. He's playing an important role in the Preserve Iowa Summit and has done work in Winterset as well. Hello, Doug.
Good morning, Charity.
Oh, thank you for coming back. And Paula, let's start with you. This is the third annual Preserve Iowa Summit, although I know that historic preservation has been going on for a very long time in many communities around Iowa. Can you tell me a little bit about what is the drive behind this summit?
Well, the drive, of course, is an educational one. We have people throughout the state trying to preserve individual buildings or working on community-wide projects. And so the summit is intended to be an educational opportunity to bring all of these people to one place and give them the opportunity to hear speakers talk about success stories, strategies for preservation, and then also give them an opportunity to network with each other, because we strongly feel that Iowans who are working in preservation can learn from each other as well.
And Winterset, I know, has done a great deal of work in historic preservation. Is that why the summit is being held there this year?
Well, it is. They have done a wonderful job preserving their courthouse square. And I think a lot of people assume that the courthouse square in Winterset is already on the National Register. But there is a local group that has been working for the past couple of years to do research and gather interesting information about all those buildings around the courthouse. And hopefully in the next 6 months, that courthouse square will be on the National Register. We also feel that Winterset is doing a great job in terms of capitalizing on their unique character. I mean, it's the covered bridges in the county. They have a wonderful collection of stone architecture that is kind of uncommon in Iowa. And it's just a community that's really pulled together to move projects forward. And so we want to highlight for other Iowans the successes that Winterset has been able to achieve.
Well, and Brenda, I know that you're excited to have the summit in Winterset. And
Very excited.
Paula was just talking about the courthouse square and all of the different structures that are around the courthouse square. Can you tell me a little bit more, for people who aren't familiar with Winterset, about the courthouse square and some of the work that you've been doing?
Sure, I'd love to. We started the project in 2012, and what we did was an inventory of the 9-block area that surrounds the courthouse, and that was composed of 104 buildings. So we learned a tremendous amount about each building and about the stories related to those buildings, the people involved. It's exciting to us to have an opportunity at the summit to talk about that.
Well, in talking about the stories behind the buildings, I think when a lot of people think about historic preservations, they really just think about the structure. You know, when was it built? What is it like? Why is it worth preserving? But the stories are a very important element of this, not just for you, but in doing historic preservation.
They are important, and I have a great story behind what we have uncovered. Besides just the fun of doing the research, everybody likes a treasure hunt, and that's sort of what it's felt like for us, to dig through the resources and find the connections between people and buildings. But in addition to that, we've discovered that each of those architectural features in the buildings say something about who the people are who built them. And our early pioneers were people who persevered through some very difficult times. The building of that square started in the 1850s, and it took 50 years to get all of those buildings around the courthouse, and lots of financial difficulties were overcome. So we like to say that they're a community of true grit because they've persevered.
and of course, John Wayne was born in Winterset. What are some of the stories, or just one of the stories that you've uncovered that really surprised you?
You know, there's a man who came to town in the 1870s. His name was Tom Martis. And I think he was a bit of a novice brick builder at the time, but he was well received in the community. And he went to work as one of the major contractors. We've estimated that he built about 35 of those brick buildings that are downtown, and it's a testimony to him that they're still standing. But initially, that wasn't the case. He had some ups and downs, and I believe there are six of his buildings that were begun, and then they fell down because he would try to do it too quickly. And so we have kind of a joke about Mr. Martis that he is a great example of someone who persevered and came out on top and left quite a legacy for the community.
Well, Doug, I want to bring you into the conversation as well, because I know that you have done a great deal of work researching some of these buildings in Winterset as well. What kind of role does an archaeologist have in this?
Well, as an archaeologist, you start looking at the history of the community through what's actually not left standing. And sometimes when you're looking at the development of the community and you're looking at, like, as Brenda just said, some of the individuals who really made some strong contributions, you may start seeing some very interesting things that are left at some of the places that are no longer standing that would leave signatures of what those people formerly had been doing, and maybe some new technologies that they had developed and were using. And with archaeology, you never know what you're going to find until you start looking.
In Winterset, what are some of the interesting things that you've uncovered?
Well, actually, I haven't really been doing a whole lot of archaeology. What we've been doing out there is a lot of the people that were in this group that were researching the buildings approached me 2 years ago, to start working on Underground Railroad history. And so we have been doing some archaeology with that, basically going out and looking at some of the Underground Railroad routes throughout the county, that some portions of these routes still exist.
And, of course, you and I have spent quite a bit of time on Talk of Iowa talking about Underground Railroad history in Iowa. What kinds of things have you found out about Madison County with the Underground Railroad?
Well, we have found some – well, let me preface this. When this started, we already had quite a bit of information about Madison County, about its Underground Railroad history, and actually many stories, many more stories than some of the other counties surrounding it, about specific stories about people and places. And many of the people that were in this study with the buildings actually transitioned and started working on researching more of these people and their Underground Railroad history and doing follow-up research to figure out who these people were. And as a result, I think we're now over 50 individuals that were either involved with Underground Railroad activities or abolitionist activities throughout the county. We've actually got some new stories. And if I can read you one little jewel that was found actually at the county fair, I believe last year, Brenda?
Last year, uh-huh.
By one of the descendants who was actually exhibiting an autobiography of the Reverend John Graham. And one of the fun things that showed up in that book, and this is a direct quote, "Times and things are changed. When we came here and for years after, especially during the rebellion, the Underground Railroad, in which I was a shareholder and office bearer, did a very extensive business, so much so that additional night trains had to be put on in order to accommodate the passengers. But when the company broke up for want of employment after the war was over and the books were balanced, all the shareholders and officers felt amply rewarded for all the money, time, and labor they had bestowed on the undertaking." We didn't even have this information in our files. This was just found as a result of several people going to the county fair and looking at this book and going, huh. We had no idea. And oddly enough, the Reverend John Graham lived in an area east of Winterset where one of the stories actually took place, and that was the escape of four slaves from Northwest Missouri, John Ross Miller, Anderson Hayes, and his brother Henderson Hayes, and Alexander Nichols. And they were actually caught in approximately the same area where Reverend John Graham, his farm was at, and brought back to Winterset to be taken eventually back down to Missouri. But there was a bit of a melee that took place. A bunch of we now know, we don't have specific names, but they were called, John Ross Miller referred to them as the Republicans, surrounded these people that were trying to take them back to Missouri. There was a bit of melee, and the four slaves, or now what we refer to as freedom seekers, made a break for Indianola and eventually up to Newton, Iowa, and the Wittenberg rural community.
So where are you uncovering this information? Are these letters that have been sitting in attics for years? Where is this?
Well,
I'm glad you asked. I really would like to mention the Madison County Historical Society because it is a gold mine of information, and I wonder if other folks in their communities would look if they'd find something similar. That was really all that was necessary for us, is just to go looking. And we uncovered personal letters and newspapers, and it was just the diligence of the volunteers to keep looking that helped make all the connections, and of course the support of the people at the state office to help direct us in what to do with that. But it's been a lot of fun.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking right now about historic preservation in Iowa.
Just 2 minutes here.
Specifically in Winterset. And we're talking about the third annual Preserve Iowa Summit, which starts a week from today in Winterset. With me, Paula Moore, architectural historian and certified local government coordinator at the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, Brenda Hollingsworth of the Madison County Historic Preservation Commission, and Doug Jones, archaeologist for the State Historical Society of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In a few minutes, we'll be talking about small town music festivals, one in Fairfield and one in Waverly coming up this weekend. Right now, we're talking about historic preservation, and the third annual Preserve Iowa Summit starts a week from today in Winterset. With me, Paula Moore, architectural historian and certified local government coordinator at the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, Brenda Hollingsworth of the Madison County Historic Preservation Commission, and Doug Jones, archaeologist for the State Historical Society of Iowa, an Underground Railroad expert. And we were talking about the Underground Railroad before the break. We were talking about where you've uncovered all of this information. Brenda, in going to the Historical Society and starting to look through letters and things that have been kept for many years and maybe never read or read by people who didn't recognize what they had there, how much work was this? How many hours were invested in this kind of research?
Well, a lot. We have a broad base of volunteers. And so on any given Wednesday, there could be as many as 10 to 12 people working in the resource area where the historical complex is and digging through letters and old albums and photographs. And I think we did track our volunteer hours for the first portion, which was primarily building research, and then the second portion has been primarily Underground Railroad research, probably landed somewhere around 4,000 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the collection that is there in Winterset, I mean, I know that many communities have historical societies, and they have these boxes, and they have these books and photo albums and things like that. Do you know if there was a method to what would be accepted at the Historical Society and kept over the years?
Well, yes. Our theory is to research and then validate. And I think probably Doug and Paula can speak to this better than I can. But we had to have sourcing for each of the items that we would come up with. Sometimes that could be a newspaper article. Sometimes it could be a personal letter. that we knew, as long as we knew where it came from.
Yeah. Well, what I'm asking, though, I mean, I know a lot of historical societies have a limited amount of space to keep things in. So over the years, I'm sure many families said, you know, we were just cleaning out Grandma's house. We found this stuff. Do you want it? And I'm sure a lot of that is incredibly valuable. But I'm also sure a lot of historical societies have to say, no, we can't take everybody's stuff. So, I mean, it feels like a minor miracle that this information was there.
You know, we say that every time we meet there, we'll stumble onto something else that maybe was just donated by a family and it makes another connection to, let me give you an example of that. One of the people in our group was placing flowers at a cemetery in honor of some of the Underground Railroad people, and ran into someone at the cemetery and started a conversation, which turns out is a link to one of the Underground Railroad people and another connection.
So this was a descendant?
Yes, it was a descendant. And so, you know, it's a matter of just looking. And as far as how much information societies keep for research, you know, I know there's limited space. We'd like you to keep it all.
Right. Well, and Doug, I mean, I know you've spent many years doing research on the Underground Railroad. Did this feel like a treasure trove when you found out what was there?
Well, absolutely. And Charity, I've said this on many of our previous interviews. We do not have all the information about whatever has happened in the state of Iowa at the State Historical Society of Iowa, either in Iowa City or in Des Moines. There's a lot of resources that we are totally not aware of that are out there throughout the state, sitting in personal collections and the local historical societies and preservation groups like the Certified Local Governments, the Historic Preservation Commissions. There's a lot of different entities out there that has various pieces to some of these puzzles. And so that's always part of the trick is trying to and what one of the purposes of the summit is to get people an opportunity to gather and start talking about, you know, how to go about doing research, how to go about approaching preserving a building or a structure or going about nominating a downtown to the National Register. It's a great opportunity for people to gather and start talking about those types of activities and also talking about the amount of time and resources that it's going to take to do some of these projects. You know, it's been great working with the group out at Madison County. A matter of fact, you know, even when they were interested and wanted to start talking to me, I really had my doubts. It's like, really? You know, I had no idea what I was getting into, but it's been great. And they've found so much new and exciting information. It really puts, at least for the Underground Railroad history, it really puts Madison County on the map as one of the major Underground Railroad areas of activity in Iowa.
And you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think one of the things that the Historic Preservation Commission has done very well in Winterset is keeping this project alive in the public's mind through articles in the local newspaper, talking to property owners around the square. And that is just such a great way to encourage people to turn to their own attics and see what they might have. I also want to mention another session that we're planning at the summit. The consultant who has been working with the Historic Preservation Commission on the downtown survey and nomination is Leah Rogers. And Leah will be giving a talk on commercial architecture, looking at the architectural styles that we see in Iowa commercial architecture, talking a little bit about the vocabulary that we use to discuss these buildings, and also talking about what these different styles meant, why somebody would choose an Italianate design for their building, for example.
We're talking about historic preservation. The third annual Preserve Iowa Summit starts a week from today in Winterset. And Paula, when people do get in touch with you and propose a historic preservation project in their communities, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who see a building and say, I would love to see that preserved and taken care of. Is there sort of a reality check moment when people try to get a project started of how much it's going to take?
Well, yes, there are a couple of aspects of this that we try to discuss with the property owner early on. I guess the first question might be, what are you going to use the building for? Certainly, museums have an important role in Iowa, but in most cases, a historic building needs to have a purpose. It needs to have a function. And most of the preservation work that's done in Iowa is rehabilitation work. So it's not restoration per se. It's rehabilitation, finding a compatible use for that building, and then making sensitive additions and alterations where necessary, and then repairing the historic fabric itself. The other aspect of this that we will talk about is that there is financial assistance available for many of these projects. However, there's no single source of money that's going to fund the entire project. So I often talk with people about a patchwork quilt of funding, that you'll find some money here, and then put your own money in as well. And so we've seen people do that in a very successful way.
Are the stories behind the buildings as important as the buildings themselves?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think people enjoy architecture and old buildings for a variety of reasons. Some people are attracted to the aesthetics of the building. Other people like the human interest stories that are attached to the building. Some people like the patina of an old building, that it shows its age, it shows some of the events that have happened there. So there are a variety of reasons why it's important to preserve an old building, and certainly the stories is an important aspect of that.
Now, with all of the volunteer hours and then also the amount of money that needs to be invested to do the rehab, to keep a building strong and to allow it to fulfill whatever purpose you have in mind for the building, let's talk about what a community gets out of historic preservation, because this is an incredible amount of work. What does it do for a community?
Well, one of the speakers who we're bringing in for the summit is his name is Ed McMahon, and he comes from the Urban Land Institute in Washington, D.C. And Ed speaks all across the country, and one of his primary interests and a message that he'll be delivering at the summit is the importance of figuring out what your unique character is of your community and then capitalizing on that. So for a lot of towns in Iowa, it's the history. It's the old buildings. And so it's a way that a community can really make themselves stand out and become a draw for people to move in or for people to visit.
Now, Doug, when we've talked about the Underground Railroad in the past, one of the big problems with the Underground Railroad history in Iowa is that so many of the structures that were used along the Underground Railroad were not built to last and have been gone forever. And I'm curious if that is also a problem when it comes to historic preservation in smaller towns around the state of Iowa. I mean, some really beautiful buildings have been built, but Iowans were practical people. and some of these buildings were just built to be lived in for a period of time.
Right. Well, and Charity, there are actually a number of towns that are even completely gone. Take the town of Buxton,
right,
which was a coal mining town and had up to 5,000 people living in that town at one time. It's totally gone. There's a cemetery and a couple of buildings left standing from that once town. And so when you start talking about the story of Iowa, you know, you're talking about, you know, not only the people, you know, with the historic records, but even going back thousands of years into the prehistory. And as part of the summit, we are going to be talking about prehistoric cultural landscapes that have been identified here in the state of Iowa, even yet today. And a lot of these things you know, if you look for them, there are pieces of the history and the prehistory all around us every day. And so, you know, yes, there are a lot of things that archaeology has contributed to the story of what people have been doing here, living and doing their thing every day. And that's, you know, part of what the summit is all about, too, is to start talking about some of those different types of resources that are still here, whether they're archaeology sites or historic buildings or with the Underground Railroad history. You know, actually, that was a big surprise, was actually having routes, part of routes still in existence, and having people that were either directly participating in the Underground Railroad activities or were knowledgeable providing maps of the routes that were taken. That you don't have that in a lot of the other counties. And it's like what Paula said, too, you know, trying to understand what's really special about your history, your local history, is one of the things that the Preservation Summit really brings out, because those unique characteristics in an area are what, you know, brings people. They want to see what is out there, whether it's a historic downtown or covered bridges or Underground Railroad history. There's a lot to offer here in many of the counties in Iowa.
Now, whenever a structure does get destroyed in a town, and we have a few instances recently in Iowa City with some cottages being destroyed to make way for new construction. I mean, Paula, when people get upset when something like that is proposed, how is a building analyzed to decide whether or not this is a structure worth saving?
Well, it's a matter of documenting what the building looks like today and what's its history. And that can be done through a variety of ways. You know, primarily we have a document that we use in our office called the Iowa Site Inventory Form, where we can document the history of the building and its current integrity, add current photographs and historic images as well. And so the cottages in Iowa City, there was an effort locally to put together that information, and those cottages told a very interesting story. But unfortunately, the decision was made to let them be torn down. But we have many other success stories in the state that we can point to, too. So preservation doesn't always win, but oftentimes the outcome is very positive for old buildings.
Do you see this as something where interest is increasing in historic preservation in Iowa?
I do. I definitely do. And I also see a growing interest on the part of local elected officials in historic preservation, that they understand that this is one of the economic development tools that they can use. It's not going to solve all communities' problems, but it certainly is one piece of the puzzle.
Well, and I just listening to all of you talk about the work that has been done in Winterset makes me want to visit again, which I'm sure it does that for a lot of people. But Paula, can you give me a couple of other examples of communities in Iowa where historic preservation has really made a difference in the life of the community and the economic health of a community?
Mm-hmm. Well, one community that comes to mind for me is Newton. Of course, Newton several years ago lost a major manufacturing facility, but the community has really stepped up, and they became part of the Certified Local Government Program, established a Historic Preservation Commission. They also came into the Iowa Main Street program and are doing wonderful things around their courthouse square. And I think one of the interesting things about Newton that stands out for me is that Newton experienced tremendous prosperity in the mid-20th century. And because there was a lot of money in town, a lot of the business owners around the square decided to modernize their buildings, put new storefronts on. And those of us who work in the field, we call this the architecture of the recent past, because much of this is not quite yet 50 years old. And so Preservation Commission in Newton is working very hard to preserve that more recent architecture, and that's kind of an exciting development for Iowa.
Well, Paula, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Paula Moore, architectural historian and certified local government coordinator at the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs. Brenda Hollingsworth, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Brenda Hollingsworth of the Madison County Historic Preservation Commission, and Doug Jones, thank you.
Thank you, Charity. Always a pleasure.
Doug Jones, archaeologist for the State Historical Society. The Preserve Iowa Summit starts a week from today in Winterset, and there will be a day dedicated to Underground Railroad history in Madison County as part of that summit. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.